39. Psalm 39 is another one of those psalms that's not anything that's so uplifting. You know, I guess that's the first thing we think of when we think of the psalms is praises. Well, not all of the psalms are praises, are they? Some of them are instructive. Some of them teach us a lesson, and this one certainly teaches a lesson of time when David was cast down and discouraged. Last week, by the way, the title I've given to this psalm is A Prayer for Wisdom to Limit Regrets. We can all use that, can't we? To walk in wisdom so that there's less things that we have to regret. All right. Psalm 38, David was sin sick and cast down. So also here, David expresses internal struggles and prays for help to control his actions and speech while in such a condition. So when we're depressed, when we're cast down, when we're struggling, we really do need help, don't we? Especially in controlling our speech and actions. All right, verse 1. To the chief musician, even to Jeduthun, which that name, by the way, means praising or celebrating. He was one of those appointed among the singers. And you can find his name in 1 Chronicles 25 and 6. But this is a psalm of David. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Before we get to the notes, have you ever sinned with your tongue? I heard that. And we've probably sinned with our tongue more than we realize. James has a marvelous lesson about the tongue, doesn't he? I didn't even touch on that in the notes here, but that would be excellent to write that down. Anytime we're talking about sins of the tongue, James is an excellent source to go to for instruction on that. So, in verse 1, when he says, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue, I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Got a couple more copies of notes up here if we need them. Okay. All right. If nothing more was said in this psalm, what a tremendous lesson this would be. Don't you think so? I mean, if it stopped right there, you'd have enough to keep you busy the rest of your life trying to control his tongue. All right? To take heed to our ways is such a wonderful exercise that with which to begin each day, and also for us to remember all day long. All right, so if we would start our day remembering that we need to control this tongue and then keep it in memory all day long, well, you think that would change our lives? For the better. All right. How many missteps could we avoid if we were more mindful of whether they would please the Lord or not? You know, if you're thinking about, Lord, as you make each decision, Lord, will this please you? Now, obviously, you're not going to go through the day asking that question 1,000 times, because we make lots of decisions. But we need to keep it in the forefront of our mind that our steps, our decisions, the things we do need to please the Lord. But specifically, David says he wants to do this, that I sin not with my tongue. Now, this can be a problem in most any state. I mean, you don't have to be discouraged and depressed to sin with your tongue, do you? All right? But here, David seems to be depressed and troubled in mind. And in such condition, we really need to be careful about what we say and who hears us. Now, when I say who hears us, you know, there's times when we have those inward struggles and we think things and sometimes we verbalize it. All right? I'm reminded of something Elder Michael Goen said one time. He says, your children will quote you with 100% accuracy on anything that you shouldn't have said to start with. You know, somehow or another, it's just like they get it, all right? So we really need to be careful about what we say and who hears us. How often have we said things while discouraged and upset that we later regretted saying? You ever been there? I have to raise both hands on that one. You know, there's times when we're upset and maybe frustrated, maybe discouraged or whatever, and we just start saying things that later on we just regret saying, because I think in the next sentence here I said, in a more serene state, we'd never have voiced such thoughts anyway. All right, so David is asking the Lord to help him control his tongue, that he would not sin with his tongue. Wonderful lesson, isn't it? Again, this psalm's not one of those praising and uplifting psalms, but it certainly is instructive. All right? So if you were discouraged and upset and you said some things that you later regretted, if the wicked had heard them, then they would jump at the chance to ridicule us and charge us with hypocrisy, wouldn't they? I thought you were a Christian. Christian wouldn't say things like that. You know, they would jump at the chance, wouldn't they? All right. This damages our witness before others, gives occasion for our adversaries to blaspheme the Lord and his good ways. Oh, how we need to be careful with this tongue. Thus David says, I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Now it needs to be done at all times, but especially when the wicked can hear it, for all those reasons I've already said. So how can we bridle our tongue? You know, that's quite a word picture, isn't it? Just imagine somebody with a bridle in their mouth. Some folks need it, don't they? Okay. But we all need to do what we can to get the results of bridling our tongue. All right? First, by taking heed. That's what he's already said in the psalm. We're still in verse 1. First, by taking heed to our ways. In other words, know your weaknesses and what's likely to spark those things things that we would rather not say or do. Okay? You've probably been around long enough. You know what sets you off. Right? Okay. So if we're going to try to do a good job of not sinning with our tongue, then it would help us to remember our weaknesses. Remember those things that's likely to set us off, if you will. Remember your need of the Lord's Spirit to control your spirit. Right? Anybody here need that help? I do. I need for the Lord to help me control my spirit. Okay? Because there's a spirit in me that can pop out sometimes that's not very godly. You know? This old flesh, what I'm talking about, you know, it can rear its ugly head quickly, can't it? Seems like with me it can happen real quickly in traffic. Bad traffic, right? I hear, it sounds like to me some of you got the same problem. I should have put this as one of the reasons, or one of the ways we can help us to not sin with our tongue, all right? Pray, pray, pray. We should be praying without ceasing anyway, right? Having a prayerful attitude, praying for one another, all just with the prayer requests that we had tonight. We got a week's worth of praying already. But how much time do we give to prayer? Be honest. Is it a passing thought, or is it something that's heavy in our heart that we want to take care of when we get up in the morning? I tell you, prayer, effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, and that includes the sisters too, availeth much. And if there's not being availed, maybe it's the wrong kind of praying. Do you remember my favorite George Washington quote? Told you many times. George Washington said one time that he got to the point from time to time that he had to repent of his prayers. We get that way, don't we? Sometimes our prayers are not weighty. Oh, but a good prayer life will help a lot of things. A lot of things. And if praying is not like it ought to be, keep praying. All right? The Lord will help you with that. I am confident that if you pray to God to help you with your praying, He will help you. That is an honorable prayer. All right. So pray that the Lord would be your helper and guide throughout the day. That's something we ought to be doing every day, shouldn't we? But we don't always think about it. There's times that we get up and rush out the door and don't even think about it. Okay? All right, so taking heed. This is that very first verse of this psalm. Taking heed. That is what we need to do, and not just mindlessly reacting to whatever we encounter as the day goes along. We need to be taking heed. Okay, as Peter said, be sober and vigilant. Now, this is not a direct quote, by the way, so I don't have it in quotes, but he's telling us, this is 1 Peter 5 and 8, he says to be sober and vigilant. Why? That devil is right there. All the time. You know, it's hard to know sometimes when it's him or when it's just our old flesh. The flesh is still our closest foe, isn't it? All right. That's what Brother Michael Goins, I mentioned him a while ago, that song in this hymn book that he wrote. Flesh is still our closest foe. Can't get away from him. It's there. All right, verse 2. David says in this, remember now, he's cast down, he's discouraged. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good. And my sorrow was stirred. In such a state, our judgment is not the best, is it? You know, you shouldn't be making major decisions when you're depressed. Not a good time, because our judgment is not good when our frame of mind is not good. You're supposed, that's why our will, you know, when somebody writes out a will, they're supposed to say, attest to the fact that they're of sound mind. Some folks would have a hard time ever making out a will, wouldn't they? But when you're discouraged and when you've got a lot of struggle inside, that's not a good time to make big decisions. All right? While it would be, let's see, while it would be good to mostly keep silent in such a frame of mind, we should also respond appropriately to good things. But in a bad mood, we may not. You ever been there? You ever been upset? And even something good comes along, it doesn't suit you. All right? That's sort of what David's talking about here. You know, he didn't even respond to good things. He kept silence. So we need the Lord's help through these times as well. In such a condition, David found that it wasn't easy to keep silent. Bottled up emotions can erupt. Inappropriate behavior can happen. And then there's sorrow for it. So David adds more details, saying, "My heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue." Now, rather than all the complaints and bitterness he could have spoken, which is apt to come out when we're in a bad frame of mind, isn't it? All right? Rather than that, the Spirit blessed him to turn to the Lord in prayer. And I can't emphasize enough. I think you know this, but we'll just remind you if you've forgotten, that when you're cast down and discouraged, that's the best medicine we can have, praying to God. He's got all the answers, doesn't he? Okay, we rarely have any. All right? So rather than being bitter and complaining, even though some of this borders on complaint, he turns to the Lord in prayer. He confesses his own limitations and weaknesses. You know, that's good for us, isn't it? It just does something to us to just confess to the Lord. He knows it already. We know that, don't we? We can't acquaint the Lord with anything. But it does us good to confess our own weakness and our own limitations. I don't know that I said it in the notes, but what that does is it puts us in our place, submissive to the Lord, who's above all, and us at his feet. You know, man can so easily get lifted up in pride. All right, so David confesses his own limitations and weaknesses, but clings to the Lord for help. And that's what we need. In those times when we're struggling, we just need to cling to the Lord. Oh, that we would have such a spirit to enable us to remember our need of the Lord and promptly flee to him for aid. That's the example now that we have, even when David was in such a condition as that. That's the example we have from Scripture of what he did. All right? Thus he said in verse 4. So remember now, let me reread verse 3. "My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am." Boy, that's a good prayer. It wouldn't hurt us to say that on a regular basis, to help us to know how frail we are, to remind us, okay? So when we're young and vigorous, we may think we'll live forever, you know? But life and adversities have a way of making us stop and think, doesn't it? David asked the Lord to teach him what his purpose in life was. You ever thought along those lines? Lord, you know, like Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. One of the first things he said was, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" You ever ask the Lord that? We was visiting with Sister Maybell yesterday, and in tears, she was just saying she didn't know why the Lord was keeping her here. She's ready to go home. I've heard that a lot. And if you don't feel like you've got any purpose, that's kind of the way you feel, isn't it? Oh, but there's reasons. As long as we draw our breath, there's reasons for us to thank God, if nothing else. But there's a great need for prayer, isn't it? Do you know how to pray? If you know how to pray, there's a great need for your prayers. Lots of reasons. David asked the Lord to teach him what his purpose in life was, how long he has to get it done, to consider it, then to remind him of how much he would need the help of the Lord to do it. You ever think along those lines? Lord, what would you have me to do? How can I be useful in your kingdom? You know, that's the kind of thinking we ought to do from time to time. I know we've got plenty on our plate and keep us plenty busy, but those kind of thoughts we need to give some consideration to. Lord, what purpose would you have for me? How can I be useful in your kingdom? How can I be a blessing to others around us? That's the kind of thinking we need to do. Are we all going to live to 100? I expect some folks are saying, I hope not. Well, what if you did? You know, it's the Lord's business as to, you know, how he intends to bless us. And this is the kind of prayer we need to be asking the Lord. What would you have me to do? How can I be a help to your people? We want to have a positive influence, don't we? Not a negative. So what can we do? We don't have that long. Even if we lived to be 100, it wouldn't be that long, would it? I mean, the way time is passing right now, you know, Sister Nancy and I have decided that if it seemed like it was 2 years ago, it was 5. At least. You know, time's passing. We don't have that much time left to do what we need to do. Be asking the Lord along those lines. Shouldn't that be our prayer today, each day? Lord, what would you have me to do? While life's sorrows and adversity take their toll, we should stop and think of our frailty and purpose in life. And if the Spirit is working in us, we learn as we think of how to please the Lord with the life we're living. Sooner we realize our need of Him and the extent to which we take heed to our ways will supply wisdom for handling our adversities that we know will come with fewer regrets. We need to apply ourselves to asking the Lord what He would have us to do and ask Him for the wisdom that we need to do it, and then do it with all our might. Verse 5, Behold, thou hast made my days as an hand breadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Well, that's not very complimentary, is it? Yeah, that word Selah, pause and consider what he just said. Not very complimentary. Everything that we have is of the Lord, especially our days. He's eternal, but we're mortal and corruptible. And time is taking its toll on us all. Our years are nothing before the Lord. Why, even the days of Methuselah. How long did Methuselah live, by the way? You know, he's the oldest man it's recorded in the Bible, right? Remember how long he lived? 969. That's right. 969 years. Wow, that's a long time, isn't it? But even the years or even the days of Methuselah are nothing in the sense of the length of days of the Lord. He's eternal, always has been, always will be. Even all of time, you know, we were preaching on the eternal purpose of God. God eternal, but he created. He chose to create. And when he created, time began. But there's coming a time, if we can say it that way, when time shall be no more. But God will still be the same. And his people will be with him in glory. And there'll be no clocks. Aren't you glad they're going not? I don't think there's going to be any clocks in there. I'm giving you my opinion, but I think I'm safe on that. Right. But David said, "Thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity." All right, we covered half of that paragraph. Why, even the days of Methuselah, we talked about that. And oh, how susceptible we are to vanity, right? Vanity, which means emptiness and unprofitableness. If something's vain, it's empty and unprofitable. But we are so susceptible to the vain things of this world. Oh, how much time we spend with the vain things of this world. Who can add anything to the Lord? What good can you do that could improve anything that he is or has done? See, that's why he's perfect. Can't be improved upon, can it? All right? David said, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Again, not very complimentary, is it? But absolutely true. Therefore, the only good we can be and the only good purpose we can have is to try our best to live to the glory and honor of the one who has given us all things and by whom is our joy in life and our hope of heaven. And I think that covers it. God has given us all things. You know, Romans 8, he says, "He that spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Now, obviously, those are the things pertaining to life and godliness. But what a blessing we have in the things that God has given us each day. Let's not take that lightly. All right? So he's given us all things, and we should live to his honor and glory. Because not only has he given us all things, but it's in him that we have joy, and it's in him that we have a hope of heaven. Bless your hearts, you can test this truth, the truth of that, what we just said, with every decision you make in life. Are we going to honor the Lord, or are we going to serve ourselves? Every time we choose to honor the Lord, and every time we ask the Lord for wisdom to teach us how to honor him, you will be blessed. All right. But David then states the truth of what man is and can do on his own. How much is that, by the way? You probably already know what this is. What man can do and what he is on his own. He's saying, surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. As we continue through this psalm, you can see why I say this is not one of those uplifting and praising psalms. But David is teaching us, and by the inspiration of the Spirit, he's teaching us a lesson here of even when we're cast down and discouraged. And that lesson being to hold on to the Lord, to trust in the Lord, to look to him for the wisdom we need, and trust him in every decision that we make in life. All right, so James 4:14 says, by the way, he says, let me reread it again. I got away from the notes. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. This is like James tells us in 4:14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while, little time, and then vanisheth away. Isn't that the way life is? Just a little while. It's hard for me to get used to the fact I'm 57 years old. I should be 40. But I'm not. And you maybe feel the same way about your age. Life is a vapor. What's that mean? You know, when you go out on a cold day, you can see your breath. I think that's what he's talking about there. It doesn't stay out there for you to see it very long. It's just there and it's gone. Life seems to be like that, doesn't it? Some respects, it's passing swiftly by. So what about your life? For what are you spending your toil and riches? Is it pleasing the Lord? Will anybody remember it? Will anything come of it that would be worthy for anybody to remember? I think from time to time, along these lines, we've talked about what would you have on your tombstone? I'm not ready to do that yet, but maybe sometime we ought to think about it. How do you want to be remembered? Are we doing anything that somebody would want to remember? Are we chasing after the vain things of this world? Think about it. When you meet with adversity in life, when you're struggling, when you're down, you're more apt to think about things like that. Well, isn't that a good thing? Something that will bring us to that point of causing us to ponder maybe some of the ways that we might be wasting some of our time and how we can do it more for the blessing of God's people. I think that's good for us. So David says, verse 7, and now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Now that's encouraging to me. This man is discouraged. He's cast down. He is what we would call depressed. And yet, he's remembering the Lord. He's holding on to the Lord. Because when you're in a condition like that, you may feel like that's all you got. But if that's all you've got all you need in the Lord. Our only hope of joy and happiness now and forever is in seeking His will, not ours. I think maybe last week, I'd have to go back and look, but maybe last week we made mention of that. That when we get really frustrated in life, it just might be that we're seeking our own will instead of God's will. It may be that our will is being frustrated. And so in those times of frustration, it's a good time to reflect and ask the Lord to give us a clear understanding of what we're really going through. Because again, our only hope of joy and happiness now and forever is in seeking His will, not our own. Verse 8, he says, deliver me from all my transgressions. Have you ever prayed that prayer? And make me not the reproach of the foolish. We might say, save me from my vanity and frailty. I need that every day. And help me to limit my regrets. Well, this will add untold joys to life. As this prayer closes, it's evident that David is still down and struggling, but the Spirit is ministering to his understanding. Now, that's encouraging to me. We may get down. The Lord's not down. Even when the Lord Jesus Christ came, Isaiah 42 said that he shall not fail nor be discouraged. And I'm getting away from the notes here, but, you know, sometimes you hear people talking about the Lord Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry, and they make him too human. What he's trying to do. Being frustrated. I've heard folks talk about how frustrated he must have been. No, he came to do the will of the Father, and he did it. Now, I'm not saying there weren't times when his heart was heavy. There was times even he wept. But it wasn't out of frustration. It was out of love and pity. Oh, God doesn't get frustrated. And he's not wringing his hands in heaven wondering how all this is going to turn out. He's all-powerful and all-wise, working his purpose. All right. So as this prayer closes, it's evident David still is down and struggling, but the Spirit is ministering to his understanding. He knows the Lord is his helper, even as he utters this prayer. Verse 9, I was dumb, I opened not my mouth, because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. Selah. I'm sure there's a lot in that, but suffice it to say, David knows that a man cannot stand against God's correcting. I didn't put it in the notes, but what is it? Revelation 3:19. As many as I love. Isn't that what he says? As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. If we feel the Lord is correcting us in some way, the best thing we can do is humble ourselves before him and acknowledge our sin and confess it unto him. David knows a man cannot stand against God's correcting, but he's resigned in it and waits for the Lord to show him his errors. Verse 12, hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears. See what kind of condition he's in? For I am a stranger with thee, and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. Now, I didn't make mention of this in the notes, but notice he didn't say, I'm a stranger to thee. He said, I'm a stranger with thee. He knew the Lord. The Lord knew him. He's not a stranger to the Lord. But God's people are strangers in this world. This world's not our home, is it? And aren't you glad? God's given us a hope of something better. And it's so much better, we can't even describe how much better it is. But we can look through the pages of his word, and we can find what God has provided for his people all down through time. and he's provided them a heaven on earth. Can you just imagine, have you ever tried to imagine what the Garden of Eden must have looked like? I mean, there are beautiful gardens today, but I just have to believe the Garden of Eden was better than anything you've ever seen. And then God's people landed in Egypt, and God delivered them out of it to a land that flowed with milk and honey. A land where the grazing was so lush that the milk would be in abundance, and the foliage would be such that the flowers and all that there would be an abundance of honey as well. That's the kind of place that the Lord gave to the children of Israel. Not only that, not only did he give it to them, but they went into a place where there were houses they didn't have to build, there were wells they didn't have to dig, there were olive yards that they didn't have to plant. And those houses were furnished when they went in. And then God told them, if you would observe to do all that I've commanded you, he said he would fight their battles for them. He would send the rain in its season. He would keep the pestilence from them. He would defend them from their enemies. And I could keep going. But what I'm getting to is that if they had observed to do what he commanded, they could have had a heaven on earth. And even today, the Lord's blessed us with his church. And it's wonderful. And as God intended, it's perfect. Now, it's not perfect as long as we're in it. But what he gave us and what he's provided for us is perfect. And as long as we're observing to do all that he's commanded, we can enjoy a heaven on earth, even in his church today, in his kingdom. What blessings. Just think of how God has provided for his people through his mercy and through his love all down through time. And I said all that to say this. Heaven is going to be many times better than anything he's ever provided on this earth. Wow. I encourage you sometime to just muse for a while on how beautiful heaven must be. I think you'll be strengthened. I think your hope will be brightened. And I especially encourage you to do this in those times when you might be cast down and discouraged. Just think about what God's provided for us that we can never be taken from. If indeed he died for us and paid for our sin debt, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. So, verse 12. The notes, this world of sin is not our final home. And from what David said, is as he suffers, he longs for deliverance as his fathers had done before him. Right? And I'm sure he's thinking back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All right? So verse 13, oh, spare me. Then I may recover strength. He's not feeling very strong when he's writing this or when he composed this or maybe when he was thinking back to the incident that prompted this psalm. He wasn't strong then, but he's asking the Lord, oh, spare me that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. You know, the wonderful thing about that, we don't have to be strong to go home to be with the Lord. He's going to carry us every bit of the way. But perhaps I didn't put this in the notes, but perhaps more than anything, not just physically, but spiritually. If we are discouraged, if we're cast down, if we're troubled in our soul, what we long for is peace. Peace with God. Peace with God's people. And a joy in our heart that we can serve the Lord as we should. Maybe that's the strength he was asking for. You know, the Lord will be pleased to help us anytime we humble ourselves before him and ask him in prayer. Oh, he won't ignore our cries. And if there's a lesson we're going through that's going to take a little while for us to really understand, he may wait a little bit, but he'll be pleased to give us the strength we need to honor him and serve him as we should. Psalm 39 is not one of the most uplifting psalms, but it certainly is a good lesson for life, because there's times when we're going to need it. And may God bless you with the understanding of it.